It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owens Beef Cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 16th of November, the 320th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 45 days left in 2024, which means, and you guys, get on it. It's time to start thinking about your New Year's resolutions for our annual New Year's Day show, made up of your good intentions for 2025. So if you've already made up your mind about what you'll aim for in 2025, great. Go ahead and send it to us. Please, you know what? You guys, I only have one resolution so far. How are we going to do a show with that? And here I am trying to make Paul and his son come and my daughter come with one resolution. What are we going to do? Huh? So get to your pens, huh? Mark your calendars now for the 12th of December, 6 p.m. Paris time. That's when the winners of the EPOP video competition will be announced live on the EPOP Facebook page. My good pals Max and Gail, who run the Planet Radio department that sponsors EPOP, invited me to come on the show to talk to you for a few minutes in English. So plan to stay up late or get up early on the 12th of December, beloved listeners. However, the main reason to tune in is one of our own has made it to the finals. Salim Akhtar Chadhar, the president of the RFI Seven Stars Listening Club in District Chinio, Pakistan, has made it into the finals in the RFI Clubs category. Congratulations, Salim.
Hello, I am Abu Said. You are listening to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what will be served.
The Sound Kitchen team is complete. Air One Room is at its mixing board behind the glass window in front of us. And our co-chef, Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, Big Sister.
I just came back from a weekend in the Alsace or Alsace region. Vive la France. There are so many beautiful things to see. It was terribly foggy, scarily so. But we got in the car anyway and went up a windy mountain road to visit the Mont Saint-Odile Abbey. Odile is the patron saint of Alsace, and the abbey dates from the 8th century. At 753 meters elevation, we were above the fog. It was sunny and warm, and we didn't even need our coats. The view was amazing. Yes, it was a fog. True. But it looked like the ocean. It was really gorgeous. I'll put some photos on Facebook for you.
I'm very impressed that you actually went up in the car in the fog, because usually in those kind of horror films, there's somebody saying, don't go into the fog, you know, and you say, oh, no, but that's the way we're going to go, into the fog. And then, of course, all kinds of atrocities happen.
Well, nothing.
Drive into the fog.
Yes, it was pretty scary. It was pretty scary. Mountain roads scare me anyway, yeah. But it was pretty scary. I'm glad Xavier was driving and not me. But into the fog and above the fog.
Yeah.
I'm kind of
cushion
dumb about a lot of things. And I didn't know. And Xavier kept saying, soon we'll be above the fog. And I was like, what? And I know above the clouds when you're in a plane.
Yeah.
And I didn't know Anyway.
About the flock.
There you go.
I've learned.
A new learning experience. How about that? Without further ado, let's get started. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz. In mid-October, our beloved sportsman Paul Myers wrote about yet another speedy Kenyan, Ruth Chepnetkich. Chepnetkich not only won the Chicago Marathon on the 13th of October, but she set a world record, too. She finished the 42-kilometer course in 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 56 seconds, beating the previous long-distance record set by almost 2 minutes. That record was set by Ethiopia's Tigist Assefa at the 2023 Berlin Marathon. Chepngetik also became the first woman to win the Chicago Marathon 3 times since its inception in 1977. You were to reread Paul's article, Kenya's Ruth Chepngetich sets women's world record at Chicago Marathon, and send in the answers to these questions. What are the names and nationalities of the women who took second and third place in the 2024 Chicago Marathon race? Paul, what's the answer?
It is Ethiopian Sutume Kebede came second in 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 32 seconds. Irene Cheptai from Kenya was third in 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 52 seconds. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question, how do you describe real friendship? Give an example. The question was suggested by Lata Akhtar Murshida from Bogura in Bangladesh. You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are RFI English listener Pradeep Chandra Kundu from West Bengal, India. Pradeep is also the winner of this week's bonus question. He wrote, for the definition of a real friend, the well-known proverb comes to mind, a friend in need is a friend indeed. One who comes at once to help you when you're in trouble, even ignoring his or her loss, is a real friend. It's very difficult to find such a true friend in today's world. In this connection, I remember my time-tested close friend, Mani Ranjan. We worked as teachers in the same school. Our friendship became stronger day by day. Once, I suddenly fell seriously ill with a respiratory problem. The local doctor diagnosed a blockage in my heart, and I was advised to have an immediate implant of a pacemaker. I had to go to a different province far away to a special hospital. Mani Ranjan accompanied me during the whole process, leaving his family and taking leave from work. In another case, Mani Ranjan saved my daughter from being eliminated from the final exam for her college degree. She was studying at a college more than 1,500 kilometers away from our hometown. As she got to the exam center, she found her name on the defaulter list due to non-payment of fees. It was a mistake made by the college, but she was told to make the payment immediately or she would not be allowed to sit for the exam. She was desperate. I was in a telecom out-of-service area and couldn't be reached. She had only 30 minutes to make that payment. So she called Mani Ranjan. He was in an important office meeting, but he left the meeting immediately, went to a nearby bank, and managed to have the amount sent within the stipulated time. Otherwise, she would have missed her final university exam and would not have been able to graduate. I only came to know about all this that evening. Mani Ranjan is a true and real friend. Congratulations, Pradeep, on your double win, maybe triple win, to have such a good friend. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are Ali Shahzad, a member of the RFI 7 Stars Radio Listeners Club in District Chinio, Pakistan, and RFI Listeners Club members Shaira Hosen Mo from Kishoreganj, Bangladesh, as well as Samir Mukhopadhyay from West Bengal, India. Last but assuredly not least, RFI English listener Tesha Akhtar from Rajshahi, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Paris Photo, the largest international art fair dedicated to photography, is held every November here at the magnificent Grand Palais. And although it's pretty crowded, I never miss it. I go now to see my friends who work in the field and come to town for it, but RFI English journalist Isabel Martinetti isn't near as selfish as I am. She went for you and wrote an article for you. Paris Photo Fair focuses on photo books and their publishers. I want you to reread Isabel Martinetti's article and answer me this. What is the name and nationality of the photographer who won the first book prize? Again, reread Isabel's article. Paris Photo Fair focuses on photo books and their publishers. And send in the answers to these questions. What is the name and the nationality of the photographer who won the first book prize at this year's Paris Photo Fair? You'll find Isabel's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
Well, as it's quite cold now in Paris, this question suggested by Litton Hissan Mia from Nowgan in Bangladesh seems quite appropriate. What do you like to eat in the winter and why? What warms you up, comforts you against the cold? What is your favorite thing to eat in the winter and why?
What about you, baby brother?
Bœuf bourguignon.
Ah.
Which I make. It's an old recipe. I say it's an old recipe. Of course it's an old recipe. It's a recipe that I found many, many years ago when I was living in London. And it was from one of those food programs. It was on in the evening. I was out, but I videoed it. In the days when we had videos, yeah, I videoed it, came back and looked at it, and it was from this up-and-coming chef, and it was a bœuf bourguignon, and the only little flary bit about it is that you put some anchovies in at the end, last 25 minutes. So the bœuf bourguignon's going along for a couple of hours, and then you add some anchovies in parsley and red wine vinegar, lop it on the top, and put it back in the oven for another 30 minutes.
Erwan, what do you think about... We have to ask Erwan, what do you think about anchovies in bœuf bourguignon? Why not?
Why not?
Why not, he says. Why not? Why not? It's chemistry, he says.
And that's my kind of go-to comfort food of an evening, and with some rice or potatoes and some vegetables.
Yum.
That's it.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Yum, yum. You invite me next time you make it.
And what's yours?
I'll invite you next time.
Okay.
I make chili.
Chili.
Real Texas chili.
Okay.
It's just... hot. And yeah, no, this chili, people put beans in it. As we say in Texas, people who know chili ain't got no beans.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's just this. Far worse than putting anchovies in bourguignon.
Sorry. So you started to talk about Texas. I was watching an old Tom and Jerry cartoon recently. It was Texas Tom. And, this is from the 1940s. And yeah, so I can imagine it being long and slow.
Long and slow. And it is delicious. Okay. And it is so heavy. I don't know how cowboys got back on their horses.
Well, they had the elevation perhaps.
Because all I want to do is hibernate. Which is, you know, a good thing to do in the winter. Okay. What about you? What are your favorite things to eat when it's cold outside? And remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. You have until the 16th of December to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 21st of December to hear if your answer wins a prize and some Christmas carols, huh? As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
This is the Sound Kitchen on Susan Owensby's Cooking.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week was, how do you describe real friendship? Give an example. The question was suggested by Lata Akhtar Murshida from Bogura in Bangladesh. For Ali Shahzad, it's all about sharing. For me, true and deep friendships come when we have relationships where we feel safe to talk about what is in our minds and our hearts. Razia Khalid agrees. She wrote, I think a truthful, trustworthy and confidential relationship is what makes a true and deep friendship. So does Dipita Chakrabarty. She wrote, true and deep friendship exists when there is mutual trust, compassion and understanding. My husband is the ideal choice as he has been a co-partner who understands my feelings to make my life so happy and purposeful.
Oh, Dipita, that is so sweet. Paul, our friend Rodrigo Hunriche compares true friendships to vegetables. How's that?
I'm not going to make a meal of this, Susan, okay? Here's what he wrote. It is believed that a real friendship is forever and unconditional. Yet, like any relationship, it takes two. Like trust or a vegetable, a friendship needs to be nurtured. If one or the other lacks effort or time, it fades. So a real friendship is best described as the constant nurturing of interest, communication, acceptance, even understanding. Helmut Matt compares friendship to true love. He wrote, you can recognize a true friend by the fact that they are there when you need them. In times when the false friends run away, true friends give, help, and don't expect anything in return. Friendship is the twin sister of love. It has no conditions and lasts a lifetime. Jayanta Chakrabarty wrote, I consider real friendship that which promises trust, affection, and the sharing of joys and sorrows. One that never betrays, no matter what the circumstances may be. Parental friendship is the best example. It gives us strength and confidence comparable to none. Father Stephen Wara is reminded of the friendship between two saints in the Roman Catholic Church, Saint Teresa of Avila and Saint John of the Cross. He wrote, a true and deep friendship is when two individuals are steadfast, each for the other, equally in good times and the bad. And secondly, they can look at each other deeply in the eyes and tell them the bitter truth for the better or the worse. Positive to encourage yet higher performance or negative for mutual correction. I think of the bond between St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross, who, united in genuine friendship, were together able to reform the Carmelite order in the 16th century. Radhakrishna Pillai thinks of friendship between countries. He wrote, True friendship is a profound and enduring relationship built on mutual trust, respect, and affection. True friendships bring joy, comfort, and a sense of belonging, enriching our lives in profound ways. The help and cooperation that India received from the Soviet Union on various occasions is an example of true friendship. We'll close with Bidan Chandra Sanyal, who wrote, "Real friendship is a connection with someone who supports you, accepts you for who you are, and stays with you through life's ups and downs. In other words, friends in times of danger are true friends." And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question is, what do you like to eat in the winter? Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at The Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating. And a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
A pleasure, as always, Big Sister.
Susanna Wensby, The Sound Kitchen, Radio France International.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Rome for his input and his mixing mastery. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next Saturday, the 23rd of November, for the answer to the question about the COP16 Biodiversity Summit. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. And today he's chosen music from Russia, When Russia Meets Central Asia, as envisioned by Alexander Borodin, a composer from Russia's Tsarist era. It's called In the Steppes of Central Asia. Alexander Borodin lived from 1833 through 1887 and was primarily a doctor and a chemist. He only composed music in his spare time. Too bad, because what he was able to write is really pretty wonderful. However, he was highly regarded as a chemist, and listen to this. He founded the School of Medicine for Women in St. Petersburg, where he taught until 1885. Amazing for the time. So I guess we can't regret he was first and foremost a chemist and a doctor. In the Steppes of Central Asia was composed for a concert to celebrate the silver anniversary of the reign of Tsar Alexander II of Russia, who had greatly expanded the Russian Empire. Sound familiar? It's in their genes, it seems. Tsarist, communist, or federated. Anyway, the Tsar had expanded the empire into the Caucasus, the Far East, and Central Asia. Central Asia is, as you know, what is commonly called the Stans, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. The work depicts an interaction between Russians and Asians in the steppe lands of Central Asia. This is what Borodin wrote about his piece. In the silence of the monotonous steppes of Central Asia is heard the unfamiliar sound of a peaceful Russian song. From the distance, we hear the approach of horses and camels and the bizarre and melancholy notes of an Oriental melody. A caravan approaches, escorted by Russian soldiers, and continues safely on its way through the immense desert. It disappears slowly. The notes of the Russian and Asiatic melodies join in a common harmony, which dies away as the caravan disappears in the distance. So close your eyes and imagine yourself on the steppes, watching a caravan of Russians and Asians, listening to them making music together. Can you see it? Can you hear it? Thanks again, Erwan, for another musical adventure. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Talk to y'all next week.